This special edition in-depth program on the men and women who serve our country in the military is brought to you in part by Central College, Cargill Corn Milling in Eddyville, Dowie Pest Control, Country Acres Landscaping, and Two Rivers Cooperative. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you'd like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Goulet Heating and Cooling, Hyatt Painting, Marion County Public Health Department, Don's Heating and Cooling, and Hewitt Service Center. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What was it like to serve stateside during the time of the Korean War? In the third part of a 10-part in-depth series on our men and women who have served in our military, let's go in-depth with Ed DeYoung, Marvin Teisling, and Garrett Steenhoek, Pella. Ed, you were in the service, right?
That's correct.
When and where did you serve?
I was drafted on April 14th. 1953, discharged on April 15, 1955. I served all my time in the United States.
In the United States?
Yes.
And what did you
places.
Do?
If I'd have been drafted a month earlier, I'd have been in Korea because I had orders for Korea. But 2 weeks before our basic training was over, all the orders came down for everybody to go to what they called the Far East Command. And when they right after that, they signed that truce in Korea, and all the orders were canceled, and we all stayed in the States at various schools for, except five, I think five of them went to the Far East Command.
So that was a good thing, that
yeah,
the war was
thing.
Over.
Yeah, sure. It's always good when the war is over.
And what did you do while you were in the service?
After the training and after school, I was a dental assistant. Assisted the dentist getting fixing teeth.
And where did you do that at?
In Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and Fort Riley, Kansas, and Fort Polk, Louisiana.
So you were in for 2 years. Did
yes.
you enjoy it?
Yeah, I really didn't mind because I had light duty, really, compared to a lot of people. It's not like home, but you cope with it because it's what you have to do when you're there. Mm-hmm. Had good times and times you would just soon forget.
Mm-hmm. And Marvin, where and when did you serve?
I was drafted in September of 1951, and I served my entire 2 years. I was discharged in September of 1953. I served my entire time in the United States.
And what did you do?
Well, I started out doing basic training, as we all did, and then they gave us a lot of tests, and we didn't really know what we were being tested for. What I wanted desperately at that time, I had an aviation interest, and I wanted to go to helicopter school. And you don't always get what you wish for, and sometimes a good thing, because I went to electronic school instead.
And what you ended up servicing what?
Well, that's kind of a story. I took my schooling in Aberdeen Proving Grounds in Maryland, and our school time was just about over, and they came to our class and they called out two names, one of which was mine, and we had orders to report to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and of all things, we ended up in nuclear weapons.
In nuclear weapons. And what year was this again?
This would have been 1951 and 52. And then I spent the rest of my time until I discharged in Albuquerque.
Well, and that's when they were doing a lot of the tests, but I think a lot of those were...
Yeah,
in, like,
I didn't get in on any testing. They showed us lots of stories and pictures of it. But at that time, in the early nuclear days, they were going to put nuclear weapons on everything. And then and what we were working with mostly initially was artillery, nuclear artillery shells.
nuclear artillery shells. That just sounds horrible.
It's ugly. Thank goodness they don't do that anymore. But then, as things went on, we started training with, you've probably heard of the first weapons that were dropped on Japan. We trained with that type of weapon. And what I did mostly was we practiced taking the stuff out of storage and assembling the weapon, loading it onto a fuselage of a B-29, get that done, take it apart again, put it away, do that over and over.
And so these were real nuclear weapons you were dealing
with? Not really. Nuclear components were not real.
They were not in there.
But everything else was. My particular thing was electrical, and we tested the... they were detonated with a radar for altitude and barometer for altitude. They had to be detonated at a precise altitude. So that involved an electrical circuitry, and so that's what I worked with.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on the men and women who serve our country in the military is brought to you by Morris Roofing, Marion County Auto Body, DeVore Homes, Darnell Towing Service, and Iowa Realty. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss in-depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety at KNIAKRLS.com in the radio audio media player and catch up on in-depth programs that you may have missed. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Hearthstone, Van Haften Racing and Otley, Midtown Tire, Pella Printing, and Jeremy Dingaman Concrete.
I continued my conversation about what it was like to serve stateside during the time of the Korean War with Ed DeYoung, Marvin Teisling, and Garrett Steenhoek. And Garrett, where and when did you serve?
Well, I started in 1951. I joined the National Guard. And after I was in there about a year and a half, they said that we're short of draftees. So I was too old when I joined the National Guard, so that made me eligible for the draft. I was drafted in 1953, and I served my basic training at Fort Riley, Kansas. We had 16 weeks of it, and then I had 6 weeks of leadership school after that. And then the orders came down, and I had orders to go to Germany. And so I had the infantry basic, and when I went over to Germany, I was put in ordnance with the 2nd Armored Division. We repaired tanks and all motor vehicles that they had. We had the big M48 tank, and that was my tour of duty over there. And then I was released out of the Army in April of 55.
Well, and everybody that's listening will remember this is... you know, still pretty close to World War II when we occupied Germany, and our presence there was very important.
Well, see, the Berlin blockade was on at the time I was over there, too. Of course, I had nothing to do with that, but that was a going thing. And then, we had to be very careful that we didn't get into the wrong zone. Where we were stationed at, we were far enough away from that zone, but some of the soldiers had to watch where they was at. I mean, you had a place you could go and places you couldn't.
Well, at that time, the time of the service that all of you was in was sort of overlapping the Korean War after World War II, and it was not quite the height of the Cold War, but the Cold War was building then, right? So there was thoughts of war, a major world war, every day. You guys dealt with this, right?
That's true.
What was it like feeling? I mean, what was the feeling like at the time? What, I can imagine, you know, were you fearful? Were you concerned? Were you confident? Did you worry about your future, our country's future?
Well, I think, you know, we were trained for that. I mean, that's what our basic training and so on brought us up to cope with things. And of course, you know, you had your buddies with you. And, that fear was there that things could break loose at any time. I know when we was over in Germany, would have alerts at 4 o'clock in the morning. You'd never knew whether it was real or not. You'd back up everything and get out of the barracks and go out into a designated spot and set up camp there. Mm-hmm. We might be there for one day, and then they would call it off again. And that was all in the training part of it. So.
Was that part of your training too?
Not exactly. Of course, I was in the shooting part of the Korean War. I was drafted not terribly long after it started, and it ended just about a month before I was discharged. So the war was going on in Korea, yeah.
And were ready any time to go over?
Yeah, it was on the back of your mind at all times, you know. Am I going to get shipped over there? Is this assignment going to last the duration, you know? But in my case, it did. I was... My time in service was more like a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to school, and then I ended up being an instructor. About the last 6 months, I was an instructor in that school.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on the men and women who serve our country in the military is brought to you in part by Steenhoek Appraisals, Dutch Meadows, Culver's and Pella, Vandenbroek Concrete, and Janssen's Decorating and Kitchens. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you'd like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Marion County Rural Water, Winfield Funeral Home, Back in the Day Lounge in Pleasantville, the Knoxville Recreation Center, The Next Chapter, and South Central Iowa Solid Waste Agency. Enjoy the program.
I continued my conversation about what it was like to serve stateside during the time of the Korean War with Ed DeYoung, Marvin Teisling, and Garrett Steenhoek. And did you have those concerns?
I think I was a little bit different. Being in the States here, and when you're young, 20 years old, you don't really think too far ahead. Don't worry too much about it, because they signed the truce. Once they signed that truce, then I guess I would say that if there was pressure, it kind of came off a little bit. But any time you're in the military, of course, there's always that possibility, whether there's a threat somewhere around the world or whether there isn't, there's always that possibility that you will be sent into combat somewhere. But I don't think that it ever really affected me much as far as mentally. But, like the rest of them said, we were trained for that. And if the time was there that we had to go, we were all ready to go.
Well, and the big picture was, you all were the whole democratic world was fighting communism. Is that how you saw it? Did you see the fight against communism and see your role as part of that?
Well, basically, yes. I mean, things were very tense in Europe at that time when I was there. And so them alerts when you had to go out to the field and so on, you didn't ever know if it was going to be the real thing or not. But I guess we got through it from day to day.
Well, and there's still communist countries that we're thinking about today. I mean, North Korea, you guys were serving during that time, and we're still concerned with North Korea.
The threat of Russia becoming involved again with us in the area I was in, the nuclear weapons, that was, it was very much on the people's mind that were in that business that, very possibility we were going to be using those anytime.
Against Russia
or
the Soviet Union.
So we were training to actively use that stuff.
Mm-hmm. and the fear of communism was real.
Oh, yes.
And it's on the rise in Russia again today.
So the
starting to take over other countries that they had once before under their domain. Others, indiscreetly, you know, they're not sending big troops in there, but they're sending individuals in to influence the thinking of the leadership in these countries, even today, to get them back under their control. You know, I think a lot of people don't know that. But.
Well, so it sounds like the more we talk, the more similar things might be than the public recognizes. Do you see it that way, that we still are under these threats?
Well, I think so. Call them terrorism now. But.
Yeah. I think nuclear warfare, as North Korea is threatening to do, is very much on military's mind at this time. And I'm sure there's many, many people that are training to, as we did way back then, 50 years ago, training to take care of it. It's much different now. I mean, I was in the very earliest phases of that kind of weaponry. It was before hydrogen weapons. This was still just atomic bombs, which are very small compared to what hydrogen are today. And so,
do you feel that same, a similar threat, or
yes, I think the American people are concerned with North Korea, and you know, and you know, being they have this new leader in there now too, what's this young man going to do? You know, that's always a threat when they get change of power. So.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on the men and women who serve our country in the military is brought to you in part by Prudential First of Pella and Knoxville Realty, Stan and Pat with Stan Drywall and Pella, the Verduff Agency, and Garden Chapel Funeral Home. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss in-depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety at KNIAKRLS.com in the radio audio media player, and catch up on in-depth programs that you may have missed. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Pella Corporation, Two Rivers Cooperative, Digital Galleria, and Pella Regional Health Center.
I continued my conversation about what it was like to serve stateside during the time of the Korean War with Ed DeYoung, Marvin Teisling, and Garrett Steenhoek. For at least part of this, Dwight Eisenhower was president, right?
Yes, and he was, I think he was in his last term when in 53, if I remember right.
I think that's right.
Did that give you comfort that that we had as a president, somebody that had fought in the led troops in the Second World War?
He wasn't president yet when I was in, but we all kind of were joking about military man becoming president. We didn't know if we thought much of that idea or not.
You didn't? That was a concern or what?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't our biggest concern, but anyway, it was something to talk about, you know.
Well, history shows he did a pretty darn good job.
You bet.
Yeah. I mean, is that your assessment too?
Yeah, I think he done an excellent job. You know, I mean, he had the experience. So.
Yeah, things could have been a lot worse under somebody else than Dwight Eisenhower during that time.
I guess the one thing that probably is still controversial today is when he called Douglas MacArthur, wasn't it? He wanted to go in after when the Chinese came over. He wanted to go after those Chinese in China, and Truman held him back, and then he pulled him out and brought him back here, and more or less kicked him out of the army. He didn't really. I think that was a controversial thing. Do we go after him or don't we? And he made the call, and some people said it was the right call, and others will probably say, that was a mistake. We should have went after him then.
Be a different world if we had.
Yeah, it could well be.
Are you guys pleased that you served your country during this time?
Yeah. My feeling is that everybody owes the country something. If you can't serve in the military or you don't want to, there's jobs in the States that you can, like the Peace Corps or things like that, that everybody owes the country something. They all live in the country and they all should do something to. Now, of course, you know, if you're physically not able or mentally, that I understand. But if you've got a physically able, I think everybody has an obligation to the country.
I consider it the best experience I've ever had.
Yep.
In the 2 years I've spent in service. It actually taught me a career. I've continued in the electrical business all my life to some extent or other, and that I was pretty much taught in service. And something I really hadn't considered, as I said, I wanted to go to helicopter school. That would have been a quick ticket to Korea had I gotten there. But anyway, yeah, it was great. As I've said, I don't really consider myself to have been in service. I lived in an apartment uptown with my wife, and our first daughter was born there. I drove to the base every day and drove home every night, and it was like a job. And one thing, the guys in Korea got promoted, and they should have. I don't begrudge them that at all. Those of us who stayed in this country did not. So that's all right. They deserve the promotion, though, all for that.
You glad you served, Garrett?
Yes. It was an education in itself. I wasn't looking forward to going to it, but I must say that the time I spent in the Army was very rewarding. I mean, that it taught me a lot of things, and, you know, you also learned to live with a group of people. Back then, our barracks, we had probably 24 people sleeping in one room or one floor. No partitions or anything. I mean, it's just one bunk bed after another at that time. So I don't know what the barracks are like today, but I mean, it was there was, yeah, a lot of things going on, and we coped with each other. We could get along. That was the idea.
Well, any last things you'd like to share with our listening audience today? Any last thoughts?
I think I pretty well expressed mine, that I consider my military time, I remember it with, that it was great.
I guess the only thing I would say is, for all people that are listening, don't forget the ones that are serving now. They were dangerous places now, so much as any were during the Korean War. Not me, because I wasn't in danger. But the ones that were, the ones that are serving today, are just as dangerous a position as they were during the Korean War. And people keep them in mind.
Garrett?
Yeah, it's just like Ed said, we got to support our men over there. I mean, they're leaving families and friends behind, and we hope that they come back the way they left. But, you know, we got so many of them come back wounded. And we sure hate to see that. It just wish we had peace.
Thanks to Ed DeYoung, Marvin Teisling, and Garrett Steenhoek for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.